This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Married at First Sight Rehab Up. I'm Asia, and I'm here to talk about singles at first sight, married at first sight. And I'm here, as always, with my awesome co-host, Jason. Jason, how are you?
Asia, I'm great. Listen, I love the experience of talking married at first sight. I really love our listeners. But like, I just want to know if there's a way that I can do the show without you. Maybe we can split up the season. Like, you know, you do half of the rest of the season and I take the second half. What do you think?
Yeah, this is the first I'm hearing of this strategy. So I'm glad you said that, because I've been wanting to let you know. I really don't like the way you just sit there, like with the headphones in your ear, just sitting there in front of that mic. Like, I really wish our listeners could see that. Cause just look at him.
Right?
I'm glad I'm not here alone to see this, right? Like, we have an amazing guest who is witnessing this. And it's a great friend of the podcast. We have the wonderful Mari Forth. Mari, how are you doing?
Yes. Baby boy Bryce tagged me in. So I'm here. I have been summoned. I, for one, think you guys should just talk off podcast, maybe, you know, instead of in front of me and everybody. So maybe you can kind of just settle that.
Well, Asia never wants to talk, you know, off mic. So, you know, I try, but she doesn't ever interact with me off microphone.
I just never like where the conversation's going.
I don't know. I get the feeling that we're off microphone. She's talking to Rob about how awful I am, how much she hates me. Like, I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we just explained Chris and Alyssa's entire segment. Yeah. No need to run through it.
Not at all.
Right. But like we said, we are here to talk about Married at First Sight, season 14, episode 6. Man, what an episode.
Woo! I'm glad I'm here, because that was crazy. Wow. And I can't believe episode 6, and we are just getting out of the honeymoon. Like,
barely.
Right.
almost half the season is going to be spent on the weddings and honeymoon.
Like, Lifetime is like stretch, like, as much as possible. They did not listen to us. We did not want more episodes in this phase. One of less. But yes, this was a good one. This was definitely a good one. So I'm so glad here to break it down with you too.
Yes. I'm glad to have you here, especially just to get your overall thoughts, even on some of the couples we didn't really get that deep into this episode. But yes, we'll definitely get into all of that. And speaking of Mari, thank you for giving us some listeners. I want to highlight a 5-star review that we have. So we have one from Gina Boo. The subject is, I love it here. First, I have to shout out Mari for introducing me to this podcast and Married at First Sight 8 years ago. Asia and Jason do a fantastic job. I love the energy y'all created on this pod. And I love that y'all even watch the after party, because I am not staying up to watch that. LOL. 10 out of 10, do recommend. So thank you so much for that 5-star rating.
Yeah, shout out to Gigi. We both got each other into Married at First Sight. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her either.
Well, Mara,
and I got her hooked on the podcast.
Mara, you're quite the recruiter.
Yeah.
Because you and Asia actually got me into Married at First Sight. so many years ago. Right. So you're quite the recruiter there.
Yes. Exactly. So yeah, shout out to her.
What you got, Jason?
So I want to highlight the review of CEAEM06. It's titled "Love This Podcast." Asia and Jason do an awesome job breaking the episodes down, and having Bryce on this week was hilarious. 5 stars. Highly recommend. Yes, we do love baby boy Bryce Isaac. Yes. He killed it last week.
Bryce will bring the people.
Love to see it.
He did. Bryce was hilarious. Like, I could not. I even played some parts for my roommate after, because she doesn't listen to the podcast. But I'm like, okay, listen to what Bryce had to say about this.
So good. We made the best of our hap last week.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So
y'all aren't listening to that. Rob has started doing a weekly wrap up every week to highlight some of the podcasts all around RHAP. And we have been on there twice so far. So definitely go check that out if you're interested in what, right? If you're interested in what else is going on around the world of RHAP. But yes, if y'all are enjoying this podcast, you want to hear more of us, definitely go leave us a 5-star rating, leave a review, and we'll shout you out. And at the end of the season, we're going to do something special for a random person who has left us a 5-star rating. So go out there, leave those ratings, because we really appreciate it. So yeah, let's dive into it. I mean, it was the Chris and Alyssa show. So we would be doing no justice to any of the other 4 couples if we started with Chris and Alyssa.
So it'd be the whole podcast.
Right. So we're going to go ahead and knock a few of them out of the way before we get to the main event. Pun intended, since we have Mari.
Yes. You know how I love to build a card. I love to go. You always end with the best.
Right. So let's go ahead and let's talk through Noy and Steve. So we honestly got one segment from them this week.
I was looking at my notes like, this can't be it, right? I was like, oh no, this is it.
I'm like, oh, I'm like, maybe I put another couple in between some of the part. No, one. So basically, all we had to see from them on this episode was their date. So all of the couples are still on their honeymoons in Puerto Rico. And we got to see them each. Most of the couples did like a standalone date. And then the episode ended with a dinner with all of the couples. So for Steve and Noy, they went to see a waterfall. He is really into the idea of a bunch of adventures with her. And she's really nervous about this because they have to get in the water. He basically teaches her how to float. And before they could fully do it, a fish bit his toe. Well,
when you say do it, you mean they float in the water.
Float in the water, yeah.
Before they could fully float in the water.
Listen, out of context, Asia's giving you more gold.
Shout out to good friend Matt Scott on Pod Friends, who had RHAP out of context on there. So yes, before they could fully float, before he could teach her how to fully float, a fish bit his toe. They had a good laugh about it, and they just had a cute date, and that was it. He had a blast. Period.
That is Stephen Noy. Right. That's it. In less than 5 minutes, folks.
I think that's history. Like, we have never gone through a full couple and under 10 before we're at 10 minutes on this podcast.
I'm telling you, it was it's a quarter of a page of notes, like not even a full quarter. But I mean, it was cute. It was very, very romantic. I think they are certifiably going to be our boring couple of the season. Like, that's all it is. And I am convinced they are already smashing. Good for them.
You think so? What gives you that vibe?
Oh, I think so. I think they are. I think they're just they're both grown adults who know how to just not say it on camera, which is fine.
A concept.
Yeah. It's just chemistry. Right. For me, it's like just their chemistry and the way they interact and the way they touch. Mm-hmm. I, just, mm-hmm. yeah. I like Mario, right? I think they're already have broken the seal, if you will.
Yeah, true. Oh, so we gotta be classy here. They've already consummated the marriage.
Oh yes,
constipated. Yeah, I don't. Well, okay. So I guess, Mari, what are your overall thoughts about them? Like, I know, like, you think they'll be our boring couple, but just kind of like their journey thus far, do you, you feel optimistic about them?
I do. I do like them both. I think they have, they definitely have what it takes to make it. I think Noi is just so open. And I think you guys pointed out, like last week or the week before, she's just have this weird innocence about her.
Yes.
Where she wants this to work. She wants him to be Prince Charming. And I feel that Steve is mature enough because in, he's the oldest husband here, I think.
He's like 30.
Yeah. Yeah. Where that he can give her everything that she wants. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, but I think they'll finally be on the same page when it comes to, you know, their feelings for one another. I do think that was a little quick for her to be throwing away that, throwing around the L word. They got it. They were on like day three or something like that. But, you know, it's not like it scared them off, you know, or anything like that. So I really like them together. I think they're paired well. Like the only drama that we're going to get from them this season is going to be the whole, can Steve get a job? But I mean,
I can't wait for like if we have the finance talk this season, because I think we've skipped it to some seasons. If Steve is like, listen, I don't have a job, but like I had severance from my other job, I work freelance, which, you know, in the tech world, I feel like freelance pays decent money.
Yeah, decent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, look at their finance. Look, I'm fine. We're fine. Chill out.
We're good. Yeah.
It's all gravy. Like, it's all good. And I feel like for in this episode, it really highlighted like, she was willing to bend a little bit on, like, because, you know, last week it was all about, I don't want to go camping, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I think that she is flexible enough that Steve will be able to get her to come out of her comfort zone and have some new experiences. So I don't even think that's going to be a huge deal either.
Right. Same. Yeah, I think it's just, I think that how much she likes him, I guess, at this point is the reason that she is opening up so far. I think it would be different if she was feeling like unsure and in the job thing. I mean, he seems totally capable of getting a job. I don't doubt Steve at all. So let's move on to our ratings. what are you thinking, Jason?
I have no reason to believe that they're not going to make it. You know, for the rest of their lives together.
Yeah.
I think it's a solid 5
for me. Nice. And just as a reminder, these ratings are 1 to 5, 1 being that they're definitely going to say no on decision day, 5 being that they are definitely going to say yes on decision day. And so I am also a 5. I don't have any reason to doubt. Where are you at, Mari?
Yeah, it has to be a 5. Like at this point, I'm trying to think, what could happen that they wouldn't say yes on decision day? And I mean, it's only day 5, right, of the marriage. Yeah. So who knows?
Yeah.
But they have a really strong foundation, it seems like. So I can't really see anything like nefarious happening. But then again, I thought that about a couple of other couples. So
yeah,
we'll see. But I say 5, definitely.
Yeah. We saw on the next time on that Noi was crying about not wanting to have to worry about money. And I could see that being like, if it's time for the experts to come visit, maybe she's talking about, I feel like it was totally maybe like edited out of context. I don't think that she's all of a sudden concerned and just distraught.
Noi seems to be easily moved to tears. So,
I was just about to say that. You know,
I think it's a run-of-the-mill conversation can start and she can break down in tears. So I don't think Noi crying on a preview is not really going to do anything to move me. So,
That is so true.
Yeah. So that's it for them.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Where are we going next, Jason?
Let's go to somebody else that doesn't have a lot of content this week and move on to Mike and Jasmina. So we begin the episode pretty much of them, like, I don't know, they're all hanging out on the balcony in the morning. It's like, you guys seem like to be okay.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So they go out. The first footage we get of them for their segment is them hanging out with Elijah, Juan, and Katina. Jasmina gets, we get the confession from her that she enjoys hanging out with the couples because she don't got no beef with none of them. So I wonder if that was like a subtle dig at Mike. Like, I got beef with this guy, but I enjoy hanging out with my girls and the other guys. Mm-hmm. So she's comfortable with that. So let's see. I guess we'll talk about a little bit of Elijah and Katina in this segment too. Like, we get the funny, like, Katina moment where she's like, do you think there are fish in the ocean? And Elijah was like, yeah. I think there might be.
He's like, do I think? No, I don't think. I know.
That was funny. So Katina asks if they can see if Mike and Jasmina can see why they were matched. Jasmina says they do have a lot of similarities, they have a lot of things in common about how they look at life and just their overall viewpoint. But Mike does say they're both opinionated and speak with conviction, which can get in the way sometimes.
Yeah.
Both very opinionated.
Yeah, it sounds like they were trying to say, like, we're great on paper, but we're having a lot of trouble putting that into play, like, in real life.
Well, yeah Katina exactly says, like, that. Katina's like, you know, they need to just figure out how to get, you know, how to talk without letting their, I guess, like, what she's trying to say, letting their egos get in the way, and one person doesn't have to be right. Like, you know, just, you have to talk about things and communicate.
Yeah, and they were one of the couples where, like, during the matchmaking special, you could tell they had so many similarities. They told us how many similarities they have. And it's good to have similarities, but when you're then staring across at, like, Olajuwon and Katina, who are basically different, but then have some core similarities, that's kind of like what you would envision, because it just seems like both Jasmina and Michael are just very inflexible people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just did not work in a relationship, like, period. And it feels like, I feel bad for them because you guys were, I tweeted you guys, I was like, y'all were very optimistic for them.
We were.
Yeah. And it was Gigi who told me episode two, like, I don't think they're going to make it. I was like, what? Are you sure? I was like, believe it. But it's very apparent that, you know, Jasmina was called Miss No Nonsense, and I think Asia, you may have brought it up on another podcast, but it's like, once you see, she does seem like once she sees that flaw, just like him, both of them, once you see that one flaw, done. And I think that's kind of where she's been at since they had that off camera fight that we didn't see, and it's really unfortunate because throughout this episode, throughout, I think, the last episode, Mike was really opening up. And I think that it could be something there. But I think she, Jasmina, can't get over that off-camera fight. And honestly, from what she told us, I don't know if I want her to get over that off-camera fight, you know? I think this is definitely one of those couples that who would greatly benefit if the expert stepped in right this very second.
Because it seems like her opinion is a little bit set in stone right now.
Yeah.
And the longer it goes by, the harder it's going to be to get her to come off that opinion, I think.
Exactly.
And you can tell just by the way, like, when they're in segments together and, like, the way that she looks, the way she, like, and when she's not talking, she's just like, she's kind of over it.
Yeah. It's the body language. Sad. And it's. Yeah, okay. Like you said, Mari, the experts need to step in. This is a prime example of the experts needing to intervene. I don't know if they think, oh, it's the honeymoon. We don't want to interrupt the honeymoon. They're having a great time. No, a lot of them are not having a great time because they're having these conflicts and it's just ruining a good time.
Maybe it's like trying to pinch pennies or something. Like, we can only get you off for a certain amount of episodes. Right? So we're not even going to come into the honeymoons. We're just going to save you for when they get home.
But wasn't Paige and Chris, Paige was allowed to, like, call Pastor Cal, I think, on the honeymoon when all that stuff with Chris. Like, I truly think that they could make it if they got some intervention right this very second. But I don't want to put it all on Jasmina because I feel like Michael I mean, he's opening up on camera, but there is mm-hmm. something about him that kind of rings a tad bit false sometimes when he's like, oh, guys, so how's your relationships doing? You know, and he's kind of giving these like picture perfect answers on camera. And then for us to I think Jasmina telling us about that off camera fight and how so stark a difference it is to what he comes off on camera. It's very concerning.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, like, I wish we could have seen that fight.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, you call somebody aggressive and you look at the situation from that point. I don't want to say that Jasmina is like not lying, but like maybe mm-hmm. she's misunderstanding the way he's coming across. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But just from what we've seen, it doesn't seem like Mike has that in him, but he's himself admitted that he can be abrasive and a little aggressive. So it's definitely unfortunate.
And we saw a little bit of it at that dinner. I mean, because no matter what, he's still claiming that she did something that she didn't do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And his heels are dug in. I almost wanted them 2 episodes ago, I think it was, to show the if they would show them the replay, mm-hmm. I think that would tell more about their relationship than anything. So if they run the replay back to both of them and Mike sees that Jasmina did not interrupt him, then they could go from there if he like groveled and begged for forgiveness. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I just feel that because nobody's run the tape back. It's been 2 days. They're still mad. Jasmina's still mad at that fight. Michael's putting on a brave face or whatever. I just think nothing was going to get resolved. And this is something that could have easily been resolved by showing them the tapes or just having somebody mediate them, because it's truly, truly unfortunate, because I think they could be good for each other. Mm-hmm. But then again, like we said, we don't know who people are off camera. We truly don't.
And that's like, Jasmina doesn't strike me as a dramatic person. Like, she strikes me as, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened, and I'm not going to, like, she's not Lindsay. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Jasmina's just telling of events is what happened. And it's alarming because it's such a difference from what she's seeing on camera, which people can totally turn on and turn off when the camera's on. And so, yes, like you said, I don't think she should just easily move on. I think that was an eye-opening experience that, okay, we need to figure out why there's such a difference in how you're behaving and who is the real you, because there will be a point in our marriage where these cameras are not here. So am I going to get the off-camera Michael that I just saw for the rest of my life? And then, like, with replaying the events, like, yes, I do think that would really help. But it's like, okay, they do that. And then, okay, it helps, ripple effect, right? But then what happens in the real world when something again happens like that and he stands so strong on it, they can't do a replay.
Yep.
So it's just like, I don't know.
All the time,
right? That's true. Right.
Trust me, I wish we did.
Yeah,
I win some arguments with my wife if I had a camera on me all the time.
I'm sure she would say otherwise.
Nobody tell her about this at all. Don't say anything. All right. We get their date. They go probably in the same vicinity as Steve Inouye was, out into the water. They see some initials carved into a rock, and Mike's like, hey, you want me to put our initials in here? She's like,
she's
not really having it. Like, you know, if this is like a good moment, like, she's like, oh yeah, sure, go ahead, try it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, nah, probably won't work. So he's hoping that this experience will just help clear the air and that they can have some fun together. He asks her how she feels about the water. She doesn't want to get in the water. She doesn't want to splash around. And then he eventually...
I did not expect that water to be like calf height. I thought they were messing around with some water that like came up to your chest.
Right. You're like, I ain't getting in there. I don't want to get my ankles wet.
Right. My ankles.
And Mike tells us, like, I'm not sure why this is in here, but he tells this weird story about him getting bullied on the bus when he was 6 years old. He got beat up by, I think it was a sixth grader, because he was messing about a seat or something. And it says he still has some trauma from that.
Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to turn this into a, like, oh, that's why I got into personal training, because I wanted to be able to defend myself. It didn't turn into that. It was the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, and again, this kind of story, I think, like Bryce correctly pointed out last week, like, Jasmina is not responding to some of these things that are probably very hard for him to open up about.
Yeah.
And it kind of sucks because, you know, it just really sucks because that other fight came before all of this, but he's trying to open up. But at this point, she's just like, it's really sad because I think Jasmina, those first like 3 days really did put some effort into it.
Well, you can see the chemistry on the, and the wedding.
Exactly.
The first part of the honeymoon is like, it's there. Like it's great. That's why we rated them so high in the beginning.
Right.
But exactly.
Now it's like, oof.
And it's a complete different situation than Chris and Alyssa because she tried and they tried. And that's why we're all kind of mourning it because we see what it could be. Even though I feel like maybe she wasn't initially attracted to him when they first walked down the aisle. I don't think he's the height she might have wanted to say superficially, but you could tell that she at least wanted to try and that they hit it off at first. And so it really does just irk. It's just really irksome that they're now at a place here where they can't get over it. And I think the reason why they can't get over it, because I feel like they never properly addressed their fight still. And I think it's easier for Mike to kind of turn on the charm in front of the cameras than it is for Jasmina. And that's why it's kind of landing for her. It's landing as not a good look for her, but I don't begrudge her for anything.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because even when they were with Katina Olajuwon and Jasmina was like, yeah, it's just where, you know, I can see both sides of things. And he's like, nah. And he's like, well, I see the same thing about you. I'm like, well, what? Okay, then y'all don't understand each other then.
Seems a little petty to a point.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Michael, that is not the case. So you can't say me too. it's certainly not the case. So they need someone, a middle person, and that middle person is not Olajuwon.
No.
So I think that would really help them. I really hope that they get early intervention from Pastor Cal. Yep.
So he eventually convinces her to get in the water. She says, "You better not push me. Don't splash me. She's not playing." And so he's finally feeling comfortable with her when they're in the water. And he says, "This is the first time I've seen her smile since the wedding." And I'm like,
that can't be true, right?
Yeah, we've seen her smile at certain points. Like, you're being a little dramatic.
Right. Just him.
Yeah, exactly. She says that she still has in the back of her mind whether they can get to a good place, but she's committed to keep trying. Pretty much that's the main thrust of their story until they get ready to leave. And, they go over the honeymoon and say they have their ups and downs, but she just wants him to be respectful and that they need to work on their communication.
Yeah.
They have a little banter about his alarm going off at 4 o'clock in the morning, which my wife can relate to because my alarm clock goes off 4 in the morning for me to get up for work too. So she hates it too. So,
oh Lord.
And then my other three snoozes. that is that too.
how long do you snooze?
My snooze are 9 minutes typically.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So 3 9. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you late for it if you didn't. You could catch that. So on the next time on, which is pretty interesting, she asks Mike if he's ever lived with a girl before. He says no. And then we get a flash of them apparently, I guess, in Mike's apartment, which I think she's looking at a door closed. I assume it's a female roommate. And she goes, "Oh, you have a girl for a roommate?" And he's like, "Yeah." So I'm like, "Wait a minute."
And he's smiling like
"You just told us you lived with a girl before." I think what it is he's assuming she meant, "Have you ever lived with a significant other?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said no to that. And he's like, "Oh yeah, I do have a woman for a roommate. You didn't really see. I thought it's not what you meant."
Yeah.
Did that look like a different apartment than the one that
asked him about if he had ever lived with a woman, it seemed like they were in their new apartment.
Mm.
But then when we flash to the other instance, they have different clothes on and it looks like a different apartment. Because I did look at that too. Because for what I can gather, it looks like the female roommate came in, like it was a surprise to her that he had a female roommate.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I kind of thought it was like after the friend visit and like the friends were leaving and maybe the friends had said something about a female roommate.
I thought
and
then it was like the person that closed that door was going into a bedroom.
In their room, yeah.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. Okay.
So I think that's what it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then
the other part of their next time on was I have a feeling this is them talking to either Pastor Cal or Dr. Pepper, whoever. And she talks about how he's been aggressive and yelling, and she's trying not to get herself to that point. So she's trying to keep herself calm so she doesn't raise the level of her voice.
Because I bet you if she gets to that point,
oh, it'll be real.
Oh, it's done. She is not coming back from that. Like, it's a wrap. She is never seeing him in a positive light again.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like when we're looking at like the girl roommate situation, like we've at this point spent almost a week together. You got to think this comes up at some point.
How? I was literally thinking that. How has that not come up in conversation?
On the way to the airport for our honeymoon, I'd be like, so what's your situation like? What's going on?
Yeah.
Probably before that first night was over after our wedding. Like, so what's your life like? Who do you like? Like, what's your situation like?
At the very least, the last day of the honeymoon where you have to go back home. Right. And you guys are going to do the walkthrough. Like,
that's what I'm concerned. I'm like, what are y'all talking about?
So it's is so he weird. Lying for no reason? Are we getting a flash of what's his face from DC? What is he happening?
Just a complete psychopath? Like, like, I don't know. It worries me a lot. And pair this with a bunch of different stuff, and let's get into the ratings.
Before we move on, we did get a couple of questions in our feedback form about Jasmine and Michael. So if you have not seen our feedback form, go check Twitter. I'm posting it every week so you can leave a question or comment and we can talk about it on the podcast. So we did get a question from MAFS newbie. They said
new to math. So
right. That's what the vibe I'm getting.
Know any better.
She said, they said, Jasmina seems to be annoyed or dismiss Michael when he expresses vulnerabilities, such as when he discussed his bullying experiences or the deaths of loved ones. Are you able to shed light on the history in Black communities and mental health?
Ooh.
Wow.
That's a big one.
That's a deep question.
Right. So, and this is why I said originally, like, I don't like that she was doing that she felt like she was kind of shutting him down, because again, it's very, very hard, just like the questioner said, in Black communities for men especially to open up about their vulnerability. So when Jasmine is shutting him down, it's just not good, because it just makes him not, you can tell it's going to make him not want to do it ever again. So, I mean, that's a heavy question, but you wish she was handling it differently. But again, I don't know what she went through, but from what she's described, it could be why she's a little checked out.
Right. So, I mean, like you kind of said, Mari, it feels like in the Black community, especially, it feels like, and Mike is really like, talked about this too in the previous episodes, he's not comfortable with being vulnerable. And I think especially in the Black community, especially for Black males, being vulnerable is seen as a negative, is seen as being less than for a man. He's new to this. He's new to opening up. And it seems like also Jasmina is not very comfortable with comforting someone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And
like empathy.
I go back to the fact that she's never lived with a significant other. She's never even been in the same state as a significant other, according to her. Right. So she may not have a lot of experience in breaking down barriers or walls in person, because it's harder to break down barriers over a phone, over a text message. But when you're face to face, it's easier to break down those barriers, and she may not have a lot of experience in that.
Very true.
Really true. Yeah.
Yeah, when I saw this question, I was like, oh, perfect. We have Marion. it is such a stigma in the Black community to talk about mental health. And it's just like, we were kind of raised to think that, you know, having anything, just any addressing our mental health was a negative thing. It was like, oh, then something's wrong. Something's off. Are you not praying? You know? So it's just like, I'm so glad that in today's world, people are way more open about talking about therapy, way more open about talking about mental health. And so I think that, you know, it doesn't come naturally. I think that Jasmina has to take a step back and kind of take what Michael is giving her and adjust from there to see, okay, how can I be there for him? How can I acknowledge that I am you know, hearing what he's saying. And I think Michael can also take a step back to, I mean, I think he's trying to connect the dots by this random story of bullying by saying like, okay, I think this has shaped me to be who I am today, but he didn't connect the dots in the conversation. So then it just seems random to Jasmina. She's probably like, why are we talking about this when we could have been talking about the fact that you have a female roommate, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so difficult. But yeah, I think there have been strides made in the Black community about talking about mental health. So I think there's just still a long way to go.
And I think another point to reference is when Mike was talking to her mother and her stepfather, and her stepfather was like, yeah, you can't be weak. Like, don't go around being weak. But, you know, so I think that's also something that kind of gives you a little tidbit into where Jasmina comes from.
You know. Exactly. And that's what a great point, Jason, because that's what I was going to say. She also seemed like she kind of deflects with comedy a little bit.
Yes.
In the beginning.
Relatable. Yeah. Right. In the beginning, we saw a very bubbly Jasmina. And I think the experts thought that they were going to get something that they're not getting. So Jasmina was nice, bubbly, fun, like a rock. She says she would always be the one who would prepare men for their, you know, for their forever girlfriends or forever wives. So I think they paired Jasmina with Michael because they thought she would work hard to kind of bring him out of his shell, to make him have fun, you know, bring him out of that real, you know, he's a realist type of a vibe. But I think where they kind of messed up is, I don't want to say that just because she wasn't fully attracted to him, that maybe she didn't want to put in all of that effort. But I just think that she gives all of that when she wants to. And at this point, it doesn't seem like she wants to anymore. And I think it's the coupled with the fact that he might not be her ideal type, but also with what she saw. And she said she didn't want to be disrespected. It probably scared her. She's already saying about how he's been aggressive and yelling. So, I mean, why should she do that for him? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just a stark difference between the two of them and Katina and Olajuwon when we, you know, Jason came on here every day dunking on Olajuwon. when he's out here doing the things that need to be done to show Katina how he feels about her. If it's false or not, or if it's just
you came up for Olajuwon.
We'll get to that. I'm not caping like Bryce was, but we'll get to that. But I think
cape like Bryce did.
I know, right? But I think it's fair to say that, like, Olajuwon, he seems to worship the ground that Katina walks on. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's putting out that energy that he will do whatever it takes to make her happy. And Michael is not giving that energy to Jasmina. Yeah.
Mike seems like he can't be bothered sometimes. You're just like,
exactly. You know, exactly. And I think that's what she would need in order for her to open up and to give back all of her support and her strength to him. And I just think they're just not connecting the way that we all thought they would.
Yeah. So that leads me to the next piece of feedback we got from T. Kins was, she said, hey, Asia and Jason, love the podcast. Hope all is well. She said, will Jasmina be the downfall of her and Michael's relationship? I feel like she's been internalizing what his sister said and is magnifying small issues. Mm-hmm. From what we've seen, they've been arguing just to argue, which, yeah, we've talked about that. So do we think, will it be Jasmina or Michael that is their demise if they do have a demise?
I think they'll share the blame. I think I don't think it's going to be anyone's entire either fault.
Yeah.
I think we've really broken down really well what each issues are and how they are both a little compatible and really incompatible in the way that they deal with conflict and the way they deal with disagreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like okay to have two people who are, you know, good people individually just not be compatible as you thought they were. Like, I know it feels like we haven't gotten that in a minute. It feels like where it's just like two people who are really nice who just did not work.
Right.
It's always, you know, it's always somebody doing something to do this.
Yeah.
But it's just here it is. It's just they're it doesn't seem like they're compatible in real life as they are on paper. And again, we still don't know. We might see it later how Mike can be in arguments. So they'll share the blame. I don't think I'll see one of them and be like, oh yeah, you're the problem.
Is Anna, Chris, and Alyssa situation.
Exactly. Right. Or a Chris and Paige situation.
So with the ratings, Jason, what were you thinking?
So I took my big jump last week from a 5 to a 2. And I think I'm going to stay in my 2. I'm not seeing them really come back from this.
Oh, man.
I'm going to stick in my 2.
Yeah, I've been on the slow decline. I was a 5, and then I went down to a 4, then I was a 3, and now I'm a 2. I'm not seeing anything that is progress in the right direction. I feel like her smiling out in the water, like, how could you not, right? Even if you're annoyed with, I mean, Alyssa wouldn't, but, you know, she does. Jasmina doesn't hate Michael, so of course she's able to have a good time. I see it being a situation. They're just not, if there's not enough intervention from the experts, which precedence has been set, there won't be enough intervention. I'm a solid 2. What about you, Murray?
Yeah, exactly. A 2. Coming into this. Yeah, definitely a 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Asia, where do you want to take us next?
We're going to, since we talked about them so much during the segment, since they are Jasmina and Michael's partner in crime, we're going to go ahead and go to Katina Olajuwon.
Did you guys find it interesting that they seem to be like every couple's like advisor, or we got comment on most of the couples from Katina and Olajuwon this episode?
Yeah. And they're the goals couple this season.
How do we see that?
I think it's because Noi and Steve don't want anything to do with the mess, and Olajuwon doesn't mind being in other people's business.
Is the pot stirrer of the season.
Like Steve and Noi, if anything pops up, Steve and Noi are like gone. Like, where are y'all? Where are y'all at?
Noise like that has nothing to do with my marriage, so we're gonna go have a great time. Yeah. So we saw them waking up, and he didn't go to the gym this morning. He had been going to the gym every day in the honeymoon, so today he decided not to go to the gym so that he wasn't coming back home sweaty. And we find out that they will be going horseback riding, and he's like, I can't wait to see if she can ride a real horse.
Jesus. That was an interesting comment. I was like,
wait,
what's that mean?
Yeah, I know.
Should we know something?
I know. But also, like, I stop him just right here. This first sentence, Olajuwon did not go to the gym because he wanted to wake up with Katina. That is a difference that Michael cannot, because remember, Michael's not getting up at 4 a.m. to go to work that we know. It sounded like it was to the gym. Okay, yeah. Does he work at a gym? Yes. But really getting personal training lessons at 4 a.m. Maybe I'm just a slob. I don't know.
But it's like, possible. I mean, some people, I could see 5 a.m., which is why he would need to wake up at 4. Like, a lot of people do if they go before work.
But do you really think his clientele would shift if he stopped doing 5 a.m. workouts? Do you think his bread and butter comes at 5 a.m.?
True.
I'm just wondering, because like we said, Mark changed his whole shift to make time to be with Lindsay. Olajuwon's now not going to the gym, and we know he's a personal trainer too, right? Something like that.
Well, at the time of the show, he was working for the state.
Right.
I saw something.
Why is everyone's job so ambiguous? I feel like we've never been so confused about occupations. The only one we know for sure, Chris is a real estate agent. That's all we know.
Yeah. Jasmina teaches toddlers. We found out this week.
Now we know.
Yeah.
I saw something floating around online with Olajuwon, like looking like he was doing some kind of instructional video. So maybe he's trying to like transition into being a personal trainer. I don't know.
Because he's so good at it.
It seemed like he was trying to, it was like an ad for his personal training last episode when he was with I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, I'm just saying it's small concessions like that you're not seeing in some of the other couples.
True. Yeah. Like he loves working out, but he's like, let me do this because she's my wife. So it's like, yeah, as much as we want to talk about Olajuwon, he is doing certain things that need to be done show effort.
If he hadn't hyped up his bad past so bad in the beginning, like, I feel like we would have a much better opinion of him. But because he told us so much how horrible he is. I think that's really sullied his reputation with us.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's still a little immature where he feels like you could definitely tell he's one of those guys that feels like bragging about his escapades is like cool. And you guys pointed that out like last episode or whatever, when he just volunteered all that information that none of us needed to know about his sexual history. So yeah, you could tell he just wanted to get on TV and say, yeah, I get a lot of women.
Right.
But now he's like a teen, and right now it's like all that's out the window.
Right. So yeah, so it's his fault, but we feel the way we feel.
Yes, it is.
So they go horseback riding because both of them are city people, and so they don't ever do anything like this. So they both wanted to kind of branch out. She's nervous because she's like, you know, I don't really like animals. Sorry, PETA. I think PETA might be okay as long as you're not like doing anything horrible with them.
Right.
It's okay to have preferences, I guess. So there are two horses. There's Sales and Champagne. So they're going to be riding these horses. And keep in mind, Champagne, the horse that Katina will ride, follows Sales, the other horse. So that's just what Champagne likes to do. Wherever Sales goes, Champagne is just going to follow. So that's why that key piece of information is why I had a bone to pick with Olajuwon.
Gotcha.
So
I missed that part.
Yeah. So they start riding, and she's like, wait, how do I stop this? He's like, you need to listen. Like, she explained, you need to listen. So this is his brief moment of like frustration that we have seen come out a little bit so far. We definitely saw it with like the training. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Katina's explaining to us, like, you know, I'm way more cautious than he is. He likes to just go out, do things. I'm just cautious. And he tells her, just relax. Like, you're not the first person to ride this horse. You're not going to be the last. And he's like in his confessional telling us, like, oh, she's just sucking the positive energy out of me. And he's like, I'm not going to stop living my life because my wife is uncomfortable. And so it's just like, okay, where is this coming from? And then he does the worst, in my opinion. So he starts riding fast. Like, he's riding fast in his open field, knowing that her horse follows. So her horse is picking up traction, going faster and faster. And she's like, look, stop. Like, stop. Then he stops. He's laughing. And he's like, she really wants him to just stop pushing her. He's like, look, I'm always going to push you. He's like, you know, you're letting your nerves prevent you from like seeing something beautiful. And she's like, look, I just want you to listen, like know when to push, know when not to push. She's like, look, I never put you through anything that I don't think you can get through.
You don't know me. Apparently, how do you know what I'm going to be able to get through or not get through? You have no idea who I am. I've known you for 5 days. How do you know what I can get through and not?
He says, I'm always going to push you. This whole segment was such an eye opening. Just like, why do you feel the need to push her? Why do you think you're the one that's responsible for pushing her out of her comfort zone rather than making her feel comfortable stepping out of her comfort zone?
Well, listen, she got told this, right? She got told this by his people that he's going to try to mold you into what he wants you to be.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Like, she got to recognize that. And she got to try to put the kibosh on it now. Because she kind of let it up a little bit. She's like, I want you to push me, but, you know when to push and when not to push. And I was like, okay, give him a little bit of an out. But like, you know, like I said, he doesn't know who you are. He's not going to know when to push and when not to push. You got to make those clear boundaries, right? Which I feel like she was doing a little bit. She kind of vacillated a little bit between doing it and not doing it. But, you know.
Yeah, she did. And that's a good point, because I didn't even consider that. Because, like, it's weird because it's endearing, but then it's also crazy. Like, you guys rightfully pointed out. It truly is. Because I do think Katina could benefit from being a little bit more outgoing. But that's also a large animal you're riding on.
Mm-hmm. And getting pissy with her is not the way to calm her down.
At all.
For real. Like, that animal could throw her off at any second, even though he said it could have if it wanted to. No, like, it is real fears. People have real fears about horses because they are scary, scary beasts. Yes. So, like, you know, yelling, like Jason said, is not going to calm anybody down. I think that's the thing, if he is going to push her, and she'll take it up until a point, and he's realized that she'll take it up to a point, he needs to figure out a way to do it differently, because I think they could both benefit from like he could learn some of her like cautiousness and she can learn some of his adventurousness, but they need to do it in a way that doesn't get them upset at each other. And that's the thing. Olajuwon just like says stupid stuff all the time, so he just needs to figure out how to not say it that way. And I think once that happens, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, like you said, they need a balance. I'm sure that somewhere in Olajuwon's life, he's so energetic, he's jumped into situations that he was not prepared for, and it probably went really bad. If you have someone like Tina around to be like, calm down, take a step back, really think about this before you do something, I think he would benefit from that. You know, this is one of those situations where they say, you know, they balance each other out. She can give him this and he can give her that. That's something that might actually work for this couple, which most of the couples that they do this for doesn't work. They don't really know what they're talking about. But I think it could work in this instance. Even when they meet with Mike and Jasmina, it seems like he's starting to learn the lesson a little bit already. He's like, you know, I just got to learn to bring, you know, my energy out a little bit to match hers and things like that, so that she doesn't want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, right.
He learns the lesson, but he kind of dresses it up like he came up with the lesson.
Yes, it's like she literally told you that she was she was borderline about to hit you in the face.
You guys pointed that out last week when he was talking about the fitness and how I was just testing her and she passed the test. And it was after she had told you.
Yes.
And then he said, I love that she tells me when to stop. Like, he's so ridiculous. And if I'm going to give my overall thoughts about the two of them, I think they are perfect for each other. I truly, truly do. It's such wondrous, because when we first met Olajuwon, it was like, can they pick somebody for this man?
Yes.
And they did a great job of it. And I agree. I think I agree with him. I knew that they were perfect for each other as soon as Katina started getting on Lindsay's behind. Because me and my husband have been together for a long time. And Lord knows I've had a ride out a few times and scared a few people, you know, for saying some stuff. So I was like, this is it. This is love here. Mm-hmm. So they just need to work on growing together, figuring each other out and communicating better. And I see bright things in their future. I really like them together. It they're not boring like Steve and Noi. Like, we finally have a couple who is still kind of fun to watch and still kind of weird and kooky or whatever, but are doing great. They still have a little bit of issues, but nothing serious that we have to like make us feel weird watching it. Not yet. So I like them. I really like them. And I'm trying to think of all of the seasons that I've seen that had couples like this. And it feels like it's been a while since we've had a couple that seems kind of secure, but also a little bit of drama.
Right.
I think in terms of chemistry, I think they're pretty high up there. They might be in the number one spot in terms of chemistry, where they just kind of seem like they go well together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's such a character. It's like you would automatically assume whatever marriage he's in is probably going to have some turmoil. But I think the fact that it's Katina, it seems to be working. As long as she keeps calling him out and he keeps revising the lessons that he's learning, I think that they could be okay. I think the only thing that makes me nervous, which we kind of touched on last week, was him performing in this role as husband. And thinking that she needs to live up to what he's had in his mind about what a wife should be. I think that could stand in their way and get in the way of the chemistry that they have, because he could be so focused on that and it ends up interfering with some things.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that makes me nervous.
Yeah, I really like Katina. I think she's very well-rounded. She can really go with the flow on anything, but also be very direct. And I think that's what some of these women are really missing, are not being as direct with their partner as Katina is. Even though, Jason's right, she vacillates sometimes. But it still feels like she's you don't want to play with her. Like,
yeah.
You know, and it's coming across to him. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yep. So the last little segment we got from them was the breakfast, the morning of leaving the honeymoon. And she's nervous about them living together because she doesn't want them to start not getting along. He's like, look, I'm 98% sure that this is going to be smooth when we get back. I think we'll be okay. So we'll see. Because on the next time on, let's see, we didn't really get anything. Did we get any highlights?
A little bit. Yeah. It's just, again, they brought up the, is she going to cook him food every day?
Right.
She like looks in the pantry, looks in the cabinet. She's like, oh, there's pasta pan. And he's like, oh, fine. Great. You don't have any excuse to not make me any, make me some food. And she says that, you know, she's getting a little, you know, he's bringing that back up again about she needs to cook him a meal every day.
Yeah. This kind of looked like a Franken edit kind of though, because it like when she was looking through the cabinets, it looked like that I would guess is when they first move into the apartment and they're just like, looking around, you know?
Yeah.
But then it was a confessional where she was talking about how like, oh, he's expecting a hot cooked meal every day. And that's it. I feel like there might have been more to that sentence. So I'm wondering if this is manufactured drama, because I think we won't.
It is math, so I think
exactly. I don't think we'll get the real drama till we figure out like what's on her phone or that till we get to that situation, whatever that is.
So that was it for them. Let's see, what would you rate them with deciding to stay together, Mari?
Let's say a 4, because I really think they will say yes on decision day, but we still have some scenes coming up that, you know, if the thing about the two of them, if they're gonna call it off, I can see them calling it off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think they would just say yes just to appease the cameras or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I'll stay at a 4, but I have very high expectations for them, because I think they're a really good chemistry match on paper, all of that.
Nice. Yeah, that's that's the same. Bryce also gave them a 4, but Sarah Carradine, she gave him a 1. So we'll see. Jason, what would you give him?
So I took my big jump from Mike and Jasmine last week, and this I had the same jump going up with these two. I think I'll stay there. And I will leave it at a 4.
Nice.
I just see it working out. It's getting more evident now. As I go,
Yeah, I was a 3 last week. I'm going to maintain my 3. I just have some, I feel like right now on the honeymoon, they were focused a lot on the drama, what the other couples had going on, which how could you not be? There was a lot of, you know, I just think that, you know, once they get back in Boston and they're able to focus on just them two, we'll really get to see what, you know, will be in store for them. I'm just, I don't want to be all in and then they prove me wrong. So I'm proceeding with hesitation.
I agree with them. I really want to see what it's like when they get back. Like,
yes,
do either of them want to still go out and party or anything like that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I want to see it as well.
There we go. Before we get to Chris and Alyssa, who are we going to talk about?
You got
to
hit Mock the Shack and Lindsay. So kind of an interesting beginning to this. We come upon them in bed seeming, you know, very happy. And apparently they resolve their issue from the explosive fight that they had last episode.
Yeah, it was like the way she had her head on his chest. I said, they're good.
So Mark tells us, you know, they met up and they talked it out. We get a flashback to a conversation that we didn't see. It's like, how do we get a flashback to something we never saw? But okay. So it shows them talking and, you know, Mark talks about how he wants to start over tomorrow because Lindsay's like, well, that was not a romantic dinner. Like, you promised me a romantic dinner. And that was the very opposite of romance. He's like, oh, sorry, I committed a big sin. Can we just start over tomorrow? And she's like, let's go. He's like, you want to go up to the room with me? She's like, unless you want to sleep here in the lobby. So it was a little funny back and forth with them.
Yeah, they definitely banged it out. That's what I have here in my note. Definitely. But I also thought, I'm glad that they flashed back to the dinner too, because he specifically said he didn't want to get too lovey-dovey and it has to flow organically, which Lindsay overreacted. However, he picked his words horribly. And I think you guys said that. Like, because if it's true, like what you guys said on the after party, it wasn't about them like physical chemistry or anything like that. Because she was saying too that they did it that morning, that day, the mm-hmm. night, right before the dinner, after the dinner. But I think he was talking about with the other couples and then getting to know each other. Like, he chose those words so poorly, like horrendously so. But it looks like they were able to like figure it out, and it seems like it's going good. But Lindsay, she scares me because the mm-hmm. moment he steps out of line again, she's just gonna start throwing it at him, just like we got mm-hmm. talking about him.
She's gonna hit low blows. I feel like she's gonna hit low blows. And he's not gonna like that at all.
Exactly.
So I've been saying that he's gonna be the one to call it off.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but this was cute. This is a cute episode for them.
Yeah.
I liked it before we get back to like present time. I liked that conversation in the hotel or in the lobby where he was like, "All right, do you want to head upstairs and go to sleep?" Mm-hmm. She was like, "Yeah, unless you want to stay down here and go to sleep."
Yeah, he goes the wrong way, and she's like, "This way, bud. This way." Yeah. I was going to go there. I was going that way. Yeah. Because, I mean, their chemistry is there. Like, I feel it's
there. Yeah,
but it's
yeah.
just I feel like she's going to go over the top. He's not gonna like that. She's gonna go over the top rope, Mari.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And yeah. He's not gonna like that.
Yeah, he's gonna drop her. But the funny thing is, though, like during the matchmaking segment and stuff, we all thought like, "Wow, this man is too much." Then we saw her, and we were like, "Wow, she is incredibly too much." Yeah. And then her being drunk on the wedding day, I was like, "This is not gonna work." Crazy 100%. Likes crazy, I guess. I shouldn't say that. But like their energy.
Martin doesn't seem like her brand of crazy. When she gets crazy, he doesn't seem to like that part of it.
That's true. I think it's just their energy matches so much. It's very interesting. Like at least the level until she brings it to 12. But it's pretty good. Like I'm shocked that they work so well when they work well.
Right.
Yep. So we get back to the present. We're having breakfast. And we get into the kids and religion part of our relationship. We talk about how many kids we want. It was not really explained, but Lindsay says she cannot have three kids. Like three kids is totally out of the cards. It's either two or more than four. That's it. No three.
Yeah. She's like a three and I don't want one. I was like, okay, so you don't want just an odd number.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe.
You'd be okay with five, but like.
Is three like a cursed number for her? Yeah.
Right.
Like so it's like, what do you do? Like, you have your three, and you're like, oh my God, we have to get pregnant immediately again. Like, what?
Give a child off the streets and we'll call him ours.
So right.
So she talks about her religion, how she's Greek Orthodox. She used to go to 4.5 hour services, Holy Week, Easter is big for her. So she's okay with whatever church they find as long as it's the right community. So it doesn't seem like she is. Still really that faithful to what she was, but I feel like she'll be okay with going back to church. Maybe they're just going to be an Easter or Christmas family.
I was about to say, it sounds like a high holidays, high holy days type thing.
Right. Seemed like it works for Mark because, I mean, he didn't get into details of what religion he associates with, but he prayed for their breakfast. And so I was like, okay, it's a good balance because if he wants to pray, then that's good that she wants to participate and pray. So that could be a part of their family. So I was like, they're definitely on the same page.
She also mentions that she wants to respect her kids' wishes when they're old enough to decide whether or not they want to go to church or not, which
that's nice.
That is nice. when I was like, you know, 6, 7, 8, I didn't want to go to any boring church services, but that wasn't because of religion. That was just because I didn't want to be bored. So I don't know if you want to go that far. But he says, break these
generational traumas, Jason.
I gotta go see Pastor Cal.
Right.
He says he's okay with, as far as kids, he says he's okay with whatever God gives and they can afford, which is not always the same thing, Mark.
Right. But then they agree. Twins? We'll have all twins good. And we'll be done.
Done. One and done.
Yeah.
Everybody would love to just say they're going to have twins and be done. Right. If it was that easy, it'd be that easy. I think I'd be sitting here with two kids right now if it was that easy. But
So the next segment is Lindsay breaking down for us Mark's landlord issue, which apparently he has bed bugs in his apartment. So the landlady, which is, you know, during the wedding, we found out that his landlady was like pretty much like his motherly figure. Like, and she looked at him as a son, but she has been calling and texting them relentlessly throughout their honeymoon to try and deal with the situation. Lindsay's upset because it's really interrupting their time together. And, you know, she's upset that the landlady is like doing this to him at this moment. So we flash to a couple's massage, and the landlady situation is spilling over to this part as well. And the landlady apparently has changed lease on him and pretty much evicted him because she says that he can't have his cats there, which, you know, she knows she has cats.
Right. It was so weird the way that they explained. I was like, is his landlord into him? Like, what? Because it was just Lindsay explaining it, that his landlord would not stop contacting him. No one to find out that she's breaking the lease and saying no cats, knowing he has three. It's like, what are you doing? And I know she got into it on the after party. So on the after party, it was just Lindsay and Chris. And so Lindsay was just like, you know, it felt like the landlord didn't want to lose him. So she's just like, you know what? Since you are getting married and you're probably going to be moving, I'm just going to go ahead and kick you out now. Just like, what is wrong with you? Why would you, would you do that?
Yeah. Listen. I was really about to say, like, I'm in Puerto Rico. How can I help you with the bad luck situation?
Yeah. Why are you calling me? What are you calling me about?
Like, right. It's like, okay.
Aren't there like roaming charges?
Right. Well, listen, I don't know about y'all, but as soon as I would have heard that this man had bed bugs in his apartment right before he left to come on his honeymoon, number one, I've been itching because I've been like, I feel like bed bugs on me right now. There probably aren't, but I feel like there are. Yeah. As soon as he said the word bed bug, I would have started itching.
Yes.
But now, I don't know how I feel about, can you get your stuff out of here? Like, can we... Because you just came from that place that has a bed bug. So did you bring it with you? I don't know.
Now, Asia just said what happened on the after party. Now I'm questioning, was there actual bed bugs?
True. That's a good question.
How can you legally just... I don't think you can legally change a lease on somebody if it's like the middle of a lease. Now if it was in between leases, okay. But
like, yeah, was he doing a month-to-month situation or what? Because that makes no sense. Long-term
thing, like, he's been there for a long time, and like, this was I doubt it was a month-to-month thing.
Was it? It's just weird.
Apartment. They did specify apartment, and not like, it's not like he's renting a house or anything.
I wonder if it's like a duplex situation, like maybe he has an upstairs, she has a downstairs, and it's, she owns the house and she's leasing it out. I don't know.
Yeah. That is so weird, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It truly is. And I don't know. I'm just perplexed. Is that all she said about the situation on the after party?
Yeah, I was hoping we'd get more like more information. Right. Like if it wasn't bed bugs, Lindsay could say, like, oh, and it wasn't even really bed bugs.
Right.
Something like that. Yeah, but we didn't get that at all.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just a sticky situation because it also seemed like Mark didn't really know how to handle it.
Mark seemed like he was just like kind of walking around like, I don't know what to do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's just like a lost puppy. And, you know, Lindsay's like this bulldog ready to attack. She's pissed. She's like, no, when we get back, and she has this plan. Well,
She tells him like, yo, I'm like a mama bear. Like, I'm going to protect you. Like, we're going to move all your stuff. We're going to move it to my house. We're going to move some of the stuff to the new house. Like, she seems like she's got it like under control now. Like, she took control. She's like, nah, this is what's happening.
You miss a very important step of sanitizing everything that is in his apartment.
Exactly.
Those cats to the groomers.
We just set fire to all of your things. To like
mattress, go.
Yeah, let's get it out of here. So I'm like, you know, I don't know if you want to be moving all your stuff in your house because you might get one in your house. But and Mark comments on the fact that he's not used to somebody like taking charge like this and taking care of the responsibilities that are his, and it's going to take some time to get used to.
Y'all clocked him. What was that, the last episode when you said he probably wanted a woman he could take care of because he was used to taking care of his mom and all of that? Y'all clocked him, like, for real. And he said it straight up with his mouth this episode. And I was just like, weird, my feelings about Lindsay's behavior with the Olajuwon situation aside, she seemed like such a great wife and a support system. And she, like, she had it down pat. Like, she was like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And that's what he needed. That's what the expert said that he needed. And that's what he even said he needed when they first talked about it, that first night on the honeymoon, saying, like, you know, he's never had anybody support him like that. So this was amazing from Lindsay. The fact that he's kind of like weirded out about it.
Yeah, he's a little shocked by it.
And it didn't seem like in a good way. It didn't seem, because he ended up saying, like, it feels weird and it's just, you know, I have to get used to it not feeling weird. It wasn't a, you know, but I appreciate her doing it for me. You know, I'm so I'm glad that she's really here. Like, he needs to get that checked out, because a partner who's putting in equal amount of effort should always be your, that should be the ideal. And he might need to get that checked out as to why he would rather, like, baby bird or mother bird somebody than to have an equal standing partner. So
another thing that makes me think something, or I just kind of think about his position and how he thinks his role needs to be, is Lindsay mentioned on the after party that she's like, one thing I was looking for was how, like, how a man treats his mom is how it is very telling, basically. And she was like, so we'll see, like, what's going to happen when we get back. And of course, the after party is shot after everything has happened already. So I was like, well, I wonder what prompted her to say that. It seems out of the blue. I don't know what you thought about that, Jason.
Yeah, I did clock that as like, well, are we going to see some upcoming footage about Mark and his mom, like how he treats his mom? Is she not going to like that? Because again, on the after party, I got the sense that, like, she wasn't really effing with Mark anymore. Like, I just got that. Yeah, I just got that sense from it.
I mean, because they, like, look back on the kite scene, so that looked fun. Mark looked like he was a kid in a candy store. He was having a blast.
Yeah, so, he's had that child, that childlike energy.
Yeah,
about him. So there's definitely in his element.
Yeah.
So, after that, we get the next really big segment we get from them is when they get ready to leave for the airport to go back home. They joke about how Mark has a lot of quotes on his wall, and he's like, "Oh, I told them I didn't want a live, laugh, love guy." And, you know, he assures her that's not really like, it's not really that bad, which we'll see. She talks again about how she wants to get him out of his apartment. She does say sans bed bugs. She looks forward to TV nights and him cooking her burgers.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. But on the next time on, we do get another little dust up, it looks like. She does say that she's having a hard time right now with him because she feels like she's getting a different Mark than she's been seeing.
So, yeah.
Not sure what that's exactly about.
That's interesting.
Maybe he's really stressed, and he's, you know, because of everything he's dealing with back home. So maybe he's acting differently. I don't know.
Right. It does seem like he kind of shuts down dealing with stress.
Mm.
And so that's like, maybe he shuts down a little bit and she feels like he's not being open, but I don't know.
Very interesting.
Let's get into ratings. Mari, what do you got?
I saw a little bit of the after party, mostly just the Chris stuff. I really from what you guys have been saying, it does kind of seem like they might not be together, but like I said, this was also a good episode for them, so I guess I don't know if we're witnessing the decline or whatever, but I still feel like it can go either way for them, so I'm gonna give them a 3 because I truly think they could make it work, but then there's some downside.
Gotcha. Asia, what about you?
So I feel kind of optimistic about them, especially how they were able to recover from their argument. I can see situations where they have future arguments and they're able to do the same. So I think I'm definitely higher than my 1, but then it's like, okay, is it enough to see them actually staying married on Decision Day? And then I don't want to read too much into the after party. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'll be a 3 as well.
Okay. Positive episodes be damned. You're not going to change my Bargain Basement 1 with this little pittance of a good episode. I'm staying at my 1.
They do seem like they could be a couple that stays together on decision day and then break up afterwards.
I can see it. I just think, I don't know. I think with this argument they had, it was really like she had to forgive him, right? I think Lindsay could be good at that, forgetting about fights and just kind of moving on from them rather easily. But I think as I said, I think if Lindsay comes like really hard at him, I don't know if he's going to be able to come back from
it. Right.
But yeah, that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. He's going to be like, I didn't like what I saw at all.
Right. Mari, hey, we're getting to the main event.
Jeez,
as I like to say in your favorite industry of wrestling.
Yeah.
Asia is going
to
take
it ready to rumble. No, I don't know if that they legally say that, but you know where
I think you get sued if you say that, I think.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. So beep it out. Scott said, beep that out.
I did it fiction, not, so I think we're okay.
We're not in the business of being sued over here.
So, Asia, you're going to take us through all the highlights and lowlights, mostly lowlights.
Chris Melissa. Yes. I'm at it. So, surprisingly, we got so much from them, which it's like, how on earth when she seems done and he's not done, but he like is getting more and more of the negative vibe. So he should be done. But yeah, we got a lot from them. So. We start out with like they're obviously in separate places, and he's like, you know, she's been distant, she hasn't talked to me, and she's in a separate place saying like, okay, I want him to act like, you know, he's saying that she wants him to act like a husband, she doesn't act like a wife. And I was like, very true. And she's just at the pool talking about, yeah, I'm just doing my best to stay in the game,
playing the victim like a professional. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this whole episode.
Yes. I wanted to
throw my remote at the TV. So awful.
Oh my gosh. No, it's so frustrating. So this is the start of it. So they go to play tennis. And so we get intervention here just by form of a confessional from Pastor Kyle saying, you know, the experts have been monitoring Chris and Alyssa very carefully, and we're hoping things turn around. So, you know, Alyssa hasn't been very willing to do activities with Chris. So we set up this activity because we thought it would be great for them. This girl shows up in flip flops.
She wasn't ready to do nothing. She's like, I'm going to put all these flip flops. I'm going to walk around while he hits a tennis ball around me, I guess.
Yes.
not this disclaimer, like.
They heard our tweets together. They had to slip it in there. They heard us bellyaching about this. Why aren't y'all intervening?
Right.
Yeah. So like Chris, like she's showing up because she's like, I mean, I'm just here so I won't get fined. And Chris is like, I just want her to know and see that I'm actually trying. So they're Chris, both just Chris, in listen, alternate realities.
Chris is acting too. Okay.
Yes.
I'm gonna get to Chris, but Chris is acting as well. He knows. He gotta know.
He has to know. This is
not gonna work. But he doesn't like Alyssa. But he said a couple of different times this episode, I think, you know, I see why we were matched. I really like her. I think she's a cool person. No, you don't. You don't like her.
Yeah, so they hit the ball back and forth. It gets old. They're not having fun. They're not having a good time. And so he suggests, like, hey, like, why don't we stop and just hang out? And she is saying like she's just trying to be optimistic in the situation she's in. And he brings up like, OK, hey, so what happens after the honeymoon? Like, you know, everybody's going to be moving in together. What should we do? What are your thoughts on moving in together? She's like, well, I really don't feel comfortable moving in together. And he's like, OK, I get it. And then he's like, yeah, he's like, when I think back on like beginning this process and like being committed to this, she's like, I'm going to stop you right there. Because I don't like where this is going. Because I feel like you're insinuating that I'm not committed and by him saying he's committed.
During this whole thing, she is not looking him in the eye at all. She's staring straight at a producer and talking to a producer behind the camera.
Yes.
And like, you know, he's trying to imply that I'm not committed. So I'm not going to have this. And it's not going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
She says, I feel robbed of the experience we were supposed to have. I mean,
you are the robber.
You are.
The call is coming from inside the house. It's you. You are robbing yourself and Chris of the quote unquote experience.
So I don't want to sound like I'm playing devil's advocate here, because I'm not. However, I truly do believe that the producers, not the experts, the producers played in Alyssa's face. I'm not going to lie, because they saw her casting. They knew who she was. And I firmly do believe that they were like, okay, let's give her all of the opposite of what she asked for. Because the way that Alyssa is coming off on screen, there's no way. I don't think it's like some of the other women or some of the other couples where the girl was like, oh, it's okay, I don't care what the guy looks like, and then, you know, get a guy that they might not be attracted. I fully think that Alyssa gave step-by-step key bulletin what she wanted.
She painted the man basically and said, find this guy in Boston.
She went into a hair salon and with a picture and said, this is what I want my hair to look like.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think they specifically said, nope, and gave her the opposite of everything. Yes. And then said, now deal with this. So it's kind of funny because I semi agree with her. I do think that the experts and the producers, I mean, from the poor man and his snaggletooth, now it's the only thing I look at when Chris is on the TV, her calling him a snaggletooth, her wanting a man who is like very, very like manly butch country, which he's none of those things.
How many of those women will find in Boston, though, is my point.
True.
Right. In Boston, not a lot of country out here.
True. Like, it's just, it feels like everything that she wanted, they were like, nah, this is about married at first sight. So you don't have to deal with it. And I mean, I feel like they did this on purpose because they knew this would be
the couple
reaction. Like, I feel like they knew that this would be her reaction. Now, she's still not a good person.
Yeah.
I have a counter here for how many times she tried to tell us she was a good person. It was like 5, give or take, plus 1. So like, I don't have any empathy or sympathy for her, because I think she's handling this horrendously. But we're not going to absolve the experts of this here.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. And that's my problem, is that like, it's okay to not be attracted to someone. Yeah. That is fair. But the way she's handling it, this is terrifying, and it's showing her whole behind.
Yeah.
But I think what she thinks in the moment is that she's coming off well, because she doesn't know that they're going to show us
everything,
all of her conversations with the producers.
Yeah.
Because that's where she really comes out and shows her butt.
That's like, Alyssa. Yes.
That's where that's she really the real comes Alyssa. Because she in the moment doesn't think they're going to show us this.
Right.
Because on camera with Chris, while she's still being awful, she's not like yelling at him mostly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's not saying awful things. And Alyssa many times tells us in confessional that she's doing great. She's being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And she thinks this because she's not looking Chris in the face and saying, you're ugly, I don't like
right.
So in her mind, she thinks that is her being the bigger person. When she says that she's being the bigger person, that she's being really nice, that's what she means. She's not she's looking him in the face and says, I don't like you, ugly, get away from me. I don't even want to like talk to you at all. She's not being horribly mean to him. She's just being kind of roundabout mean to him.
Yeah.
To his face.
Exactly. So finishing out this conversation with the living arrangement, she says she doesn't feel it's fair to be able to not be able to live there. She's like, they could both, she doesn't feel it's fair. And so Chris is like, okay, well, I'm going to live there. And then like, you know, it's on you to make the decision if you're going to live there. And she's like, well, I feel like you're making the decision. She goes off to talk to the producer. I feel like he's making the decision on his own without me. And he's just saying like, oh, it's a tough decision to make. Like, what's that about? And so we get this whole like back and forth, right? This is when we start to see the real Alyssa, or we've been seeing the real Alyssa whenever she thinks the camera is not on. And so she's talking to the producer. She's like, why does he have to do that? She's like, I love the other girls. I want to be there with them. And the producer's like, well, okay, well, the whole point of this is to move in with your spouse. And she's like, well, why is that fair? I don't want to live with you because we're not compatible. So why is it fair that I can't live in the apartment? She's telling why this to the producer.
You're right.
I can't live in the apartment. And he used to have to offer the decision of living in an apartment.
Yes. And we get two camera angles of this shot. So one is like, again, we're getting that. I couldn't tell if it was a producer who had like that phone or like that GoPro on their chest that they were recording for them there. Or if I kind of saw the producer when she was talking to them, it kind of looked like they had something near their hip in their hand kind of pointed at her. But they were, she's on candid camera. You on candid camera? And then it was that shot. And then it was a shot from like probably back where they were in the tennis court, like really zoomed in. I was like, this is.
They had like three cameras going undercover. Neither her nor Chris knew about. Shooting Chris, shooting her at the angle from the hip.
They took a couple cameras from Steve Inouye. They said, y'all don't need
these cameras. Yeah, we don't need cameras.
We need them at the tennis court. We need them at the tennis court.
They all the walkies like, hey, we need like four more cameramen over here. Whoever's on Steve Inouye, just leave them. They're fine.
There's no need.
Disguise yourselves as a bush. Right. And get over here. Right.
So at this point, she's hysterical and crying. And she's like, if he can't be kind, and like, why is he saying anything? She's like, oh, look at his hand gestures. Even that's aggressive. Like, look at him pointing. Oh, and it cut to camera six that's looking at Chris. And all he's doing is showing someone else something that's in the distance. And he's pointing and talking about it. And she hates it. She hates this man.
Hates him. I think the if you know the word bubbles that you see like sometimes like what are the words that are used most often? Like Alyssa's is like good person, respectable, fair. Fair is a big one.
Portrayed.
Betrayed. Like she's got she says the same words over and over again.
Yes. You
know, it's another just one of the many things that bugs me about her.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then Chris goes back to the hotel. Alyssa's still pouting to the producers. Chris calls his sister, and he tells her, like, okay, things aren't going as expected. Like, she's had some concerns and hasn't wanted to talk about them. And I was like, understatement of the century. He's downplaying this so much, his sister. And he's like, yeah, she's walked out a lot of our conversations and, like, and they start to talk about how, like, her mom, Alyssa's mom, knew what she needed. She explained to Chris's family exactly how Chris is the type of guy that she needs. And she doesn't realize she needs it. Meanwhile, Alyssa's outside talking to the producer. I'm stuck in a terrible situation. I'm sick of crying. I'm sick of being the good person and taking the high road. I don't want to talk to him. I hate him. It's disgusting that a man is treating a woman like that. He's just a sucky car salesman who sells houses. Why can't I just hang out with my girls?
My girls. Oh my gosh. This is not the Bachelor, ladies. Yes. Like, we're not all living in a house, like, together. Like, you... it's been what? How many seasons? Six? Round about number six seasons or so since they've been living together, maybe. Yes. More. I don't remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But since like season nine, maybe.
Yeah. That is like, that's like way off in the distance, secondary to this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To this whole thing.
Right. Like, that's the sprinkles on top. Like, right. If you get a friendship out of this, good for you. But the show is Married at First Sight. She came here for, I said, Alyssa needs to download Bumble BFF because that's what she's looking for. She's looking for some new groups of friends, and she's mad that they're saying, no, you need to talk to your husband because that's like the concept of the show. No, I just want to hang out with my girls. I don't think it's fair that I can't stay at the apartment because he just wants to stay at the apartment.
Yeah. I want to stay with my girls, minus Lindsay.
Right.
At this point, mine is Noid too. Cause
right.
Who besides Katina is her girls? I mean, maybe right. Katina and Jasmina. Well, Katina, I guess.
Yeah, Katina does seem to have Alyssa's back more often, also trying to call Alyssa out. But it truly is, So Alyssa, you want it to be on TV. This is what you want it to be on TV. And if you guys said that she originally did try out for The Bachelor, right?
No, we don't know that.
We don't know.
I've heard that so many times.
Yeah, she applied. It seems like she applied for every single dating show. And this is just the one that accepted her. Like,
yeah,
that's what it is. Like,
she can probably get on The Bachelor now.
She had applied all. She had applied all to all of the casting sites for these shows. And this is the one that called her back. That's what it seems like.
She really is in here for those like late nights. We heard it last season with like the couples hanging out like in the pool room of the apartment. Like that's what she's here for.
That's not it. This marriage. She's not realizing that is a sliver of the whole experience. The experience is with your spouse. And so she's talking to, I want to say this is Montre. So I don't know if y'all, I only know this because I remember specifically in season 10 when it was Michael and Misha, or what was her name? Mika. Okay, so Mika and Michael. And Michael was yet again lying about his salary and his job. And they were in the bed and he showed her a paper of like the offer letter or something that he received. And she looked up towards the camera and said, Montre. So I thought that was hilarious. That was like the perfect example of breaking the fourth wall. So I've always known that Montre is a producer on the show.
Oh,
yes. So he's there talking to Alyssa. He's like, this is a show about marriage and not singles. Yep. And she feels like she's not being dramatic, which we all know this is not true. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Jasmina and Katina, they meet up with her. And meanwhile, Mark and Lindsay are meeting up with Chris. So they're just trying to get their sides of things. And Alyssa's like, you know, she's happy for everyone that they're happy, but it's hard to be around because she doesn't have that. And she's like, I just feel bad because like, I'm not blaming him for this, but I feel like he's blaming me.
Because you are.
Yes.
Yeah. And she says that she isn't perceived as a good or portrayed as a good person. She's going to be pissed like on this episode. Girl, they are driving the bus over you. They tossed her to the street.
Well, listen, like you said, Mari, like they saw her casting tape. They're like, oh, we got a gold mine here.
Yeah,
but I'm sure like, as soon as like production came to her, like, you know, for the first time, like to shoot her. I'm sure she gave them attitude. She gave them lip. And they were like, we will give her the special, y'all. Like, you know, like you turn around to production and camera, like, we don't give this one the special. You know what that means. Undercover cans. Like, you don't tell her when she's being filmed. Leave her mic on at all times.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Because I swear she thinks as soon as she yells cut, they cut.
Right? Yep.
She totally
you don't run this production, miss.
She thinks she's this, like, high, like, this isn't Selling Sunset. Like, it's not this beautiful, picturesque, like softly scripted show, and then when they cut the fourth wall, it's not gonna make it. No, we're seeing everything. This is as real as it gets for a reality show, and she just thinks, "Oh no, there's no way because I'm not, you know, that's not part of the scene. So there's no way they're gonna show it."
Now, in her defense, they did. It seemed like put some words in her mouth a little bit. Like when she's talking to the producers by like the tree or whatever, and she has a back to like the camera, you can tell they definitely put some words in her mouth. But she said those words for
sure. She said them, maybe not at that time.
Right.
Yes.
So they did put some words in her mouth, but she did say those words.
That's why I'm like, they can't use something you don't say.
Yep.
So that's when people are, it's editing. No. So another thing with this conversation with Katina and Jasmina is Katina was like, okay, don't get me wrong. I don't want to put words in your mouth or whatever, but I'm just getting the feeling that you're just not attracted to him. Like, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. She's like, well, he's not my type. And this is her default. If anybody asks her if she's attracted to him, she just says, he's not my type. And she feels like that's a safe answer. So that's what she told him.
Katina put on the kiddiest of kid gloves.
Yes.
To try and deal with her. Like, I feel like maybe, just hear me out. Maybe. You're not attracted. Just maybe. You're not attracted. Yeah. Can you say that? Could you say maybe. That at least?
Kid gloves, strap pillows to them.
Yeah, like
added feathers. Cotton balls. Just the delicatest of touches, basically. And the funny thing is, she's doing all of these loops and holds to try and not seem like a bad person. Doesn't want to outright be like, I'm not attracted to him. When if she would just say that to him,
yes, that's another thing. Yes.
To him and be like, she keeps trying to just be like, you know, I'm not attracted to you. I don't feel like making it work.
Let's right.
play for the cameras like Brett and Ryan did last yeah. season. I hate to see it. I don't want to see it. I'd rather they be off the show, but it's better than all of this, because all of this is what she's
you
trying
would rather
to
be
avoid.
Off the show. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, see all this.
I mean, no, I'm saying with Brett and Ryan, like, with Brett and Ryan last
boring,
year,
so yeah.
yeah, they were so yeah. boring last year, and you could tell they just had came to a consensus that it wasn't going to work, and then they mm-hmm. just tried, they did it as little bare minimum as possible, which is, yeah. is what it feels like Alyssa is trying to do, but Chris is not letting her, which at this point, I'm kind of on his side, like, he's trying to make her suffer at this point.
And
yeah.
I thought I'm not mad that. At it. I don't yeah, think that is. Anymore, though.
You don't think that anymore?
I did not get that vibe after the dinner. At this point, when he was saying, like, you know, I'm gonna live in the apartment, but you know, if you want to come, you can come. That's your decision. I was thinking, like, okay, perfect. Yes, he's making her suffer. But the mm-hmm. way he's talking during the dinner made me feel like, and I know we're gonna break that down. It made me feel like he said it at one point. Even if you're 1% in, I'm all in.
Well, I think that's acting. I think that's acting.
Okay. Why do you think that?
Because the writing's on the wall. Like
mm-hmm. But have you been in a situation of desperation? Have put yourself in Chris's shoes. He sees this as, if this doesn't work out, I failed. But if it does work out, I succeeded. Like I do everything else in my life. And he just sees this as, no matter who it is, he's like, if I can make this work, then I have a success story.
My dude, she is unwilling to talk to you.
We see that.
Unwilling, period.
We do.
Yeah.
I don't feel
he
like.
He sees it too. He's asking her as she won't. I think
feel like he's
Chris,
blind to it.
He even says during the episode, I know.
I know.
That she's not into this.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm trying to find the quotes here, but he basically said he wants her to admit on camera that
she's not into it.
She's not into it. And I think, I don't know if it feels like acting, like Jason said, it feels like,
but I'm not mad at him for the acting. I'm not
right.
Because she deserves it.
Right. And it feels like I truly believe it is desperation, like Asia said, that he came on the show because mm-hmm. he's desperate to find a wife to settle down, to have that lifestyle that he's expected to have. And I think he truly wanted this to be it. Yeah. So I do believe that. But I think everything else it's his frustration has built to a point where now he's just kind of like, I need her. She's going to be the one to say it. It's kind of like those relationships where both the people want to break up, but they don't mm-hmm. want to be the person who breaks it up.
Yeah, they're kind of playing chicken a little bit.
Like, yeah.
Who's going to be the first person?
Exactly. Yeah, see, and I was hoping that was the case with them because I was like, he should know that she's trying to do everything except be the one to end it. Because then if he ends it, mm-hmm. she can blame him for, I was trying to make it work. You know, I've been giving it my best effort. But I just get the vibe that if she were like, let's try this or whatever. He's like, okay, yes, let's do it. Completely forgetting how disrespectful she's been to him for the entire time she's known him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like at this point, maybe now in today's world, he has a better understanding. Mm-hmm. But I feel like at this point, he's still very, I don't know, I just kind of got that vibe even from watching on After Party.
No, I get you. I think before that dinner, he still did feel like maybe it was a possibility, because even mm-hmm. when he was talking with Mark and Lindsay, he was trying to say that it might be a possibility. It took his sister saying to give up on it, took Mark and Lindsay saying to keep up on it. And then he started reflecting after their talk. After the dinner, he said, not a single person has told me to keep going.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see both sides. I can see that it is acting, yeah. But I can also see how he is desperate enough to try and make anything work.
Yeah.
Well, I for sure think if she comes to him in some miraculous turn of events, like she's like, hey, let's try this thing. I think, yeah, he would be down for it. But I think he knows, like we know, that moment's not happening. That moment's not coming.
Right.
And just to touch on like the apartment thing, it's just like so crazy. Like, we know from seeing previous seasons that these apartments are usually two bedroom apartments.
Yes, they mm-hmm. are.
Mm-hmm. All you have to do is share common space, like living room, kitchen, yes. whatever.
Yeah.
They're not so asking, bad about that.
They're not asking you to sleep in the bed with this man. Like, what is your big problem that you just can't even be in the same building as a person? Yeah,
exactly. The hatred. Okay, I think it's definitely just like she needs to direct the anger she has right now to someone, because she can't go talk to casting. She can't go talk to Pastor Cal and Dr. Viviana and Dr. Pepper or the producers. So she's just like, all of my frustration and anger is going towards this man.
Exactly.
And that's it.
I want to see her pop off at Pastor Cal. We'll see how that happens.
So. Yeah, her hatred for him it's unreal. It feels I would much rather you tell this man he was ugly and you don't want to deal with him than to try and say that he's the worst human being on the planet while you're
just continue to gaslight him the whole time. Yeah,
exactly. And that's what it is. It is straight up gaslighting.
Yeah.
At least from everything that we've seen.
So let's get into the dinner. So they do this like roundabout. You know, what have you learned? What do you know now that you didn't know before? And so the couples are sharing whatever. And they get to that, like all the couples have shared at this point. And Mark is like, he directs the question towards Chris and Alyssa. And Chris is like, well, okay, well, it's Lindsay. I'm seeing them as
Lindsay.
One unit.
Yeah,
Lindsay was like, what about you guys?
And Chris Lindsay like, knows she's doing too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And Chris says, well, obviously we're not in the same place y'all are. And Alyssa's like, we're just taking it day by day. And Chris is, you know, he just wants her to say on camera that she's done. And Noy's like, okay, well, like, which was surprising. I did not expect Noy to chime in. And she's just like, okay, well, like with the honeymoon's ending, what's y'all's plan for moving in? And Alyssa's like, well, we haven't really had a chance to talk about it. Rewind this podcast about 20 minutes. They literally did talk about it.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, my suggestion is that like he moves in for the first half and then I'll move in for the second half. Because I just like love being around y'all so much. And Chris is like, well, I haven't heard the strategy. It's not, and that's not really something I'd be interested in. He's like, I love y'all, but I didn't come here for y'all. I'm all in or I'm all out. And like I'm not trying to split time like divorced parents.
Yep, and like the couples are our kids. He like this dinner was Chris's like, I've had it. Yep. I'm gonna say everything, and there's gonna be no stone left unturned. I'm gonna read you for filth in front of all your little friends. Yep. Like you're awful. Like this is Chris's shining moment, and I love it. I love that he was how forcefully he came with it.
Yeah, I loved hearing this specifically from Chris. I was like, yes, don't just like, oh, well, yeah, that could work. Because it makes absolutely no sense why she's trying to live in this apartment. None. Like, should we be concerned? Like, does she have a place to stay? Because
are you homeless?
Right. I can't think of any other reason why she's trying to stay on Married at First Sight for the friends. Yeah. And so
the producer did say if you know, you're not a couple, you're gone. And it's like she's trying to string it out so she can keep again. I think she just wants to stay on TV more.
Yeah, literally.
Well, and I would also wonder about the contractual obligations that the show puts on them. I think there's a running like rumor or like thought that if you quit the show could sue you for $50,000.
Right. Like, but what is it?
I do wonder if there's something of that nature. Like, no one wants to be the one to say it, because if I say it, that means it's my fault and I could get sued.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We've seen so many examples of people quitting. So, like, what's her fear? What? I just don't understand. I'm at this point, we obviously know she just wants to be on TV. Like, if she just wants some exposure, I mean, we can have her on the podcast. And yeah. I mean, so we have a few people that listen.
No, I quit. If I see Alyssa pop up on the screen next week, I quit. Y'all not gonna like what I have to say to Alyssa.
She's just gonna get up and walk away. Like,
she's not gonna like where the conversation's going.
I thought I was going to this podcast because you guys liked me and you were my fans and you're giving me all these questions I'm not prepared for.
I know what I'm getting you for your birthday, Jason. I'm getting you a cameo from Alyssa.
Oh no. I'm sure she's on there. She's gotta be on there.
She has to be. There's no way.
Bargain basement. Like five.
Oh no, things. She would charge $300 for a cameo.
Oh my god,
that seems like her ego is probably that big that she would charge like $300 for a cameo.
But absolutely, like,
you know, her job is a social media marketing manager for a construction company. I think she said at one point, and it kind of feels like she's trying to spin this, you know, whole narrative for like a, you know, in a social media kind of way.
Yeah.
It's like what she present. You're so right. Yeah, what she's presenting is what, you know, is a certain persona, and then once she logs off Instagram, that's she can be her real self. But it's like, no, sweetheart. There are cameras from every angle. Yeah,
this is a narrative you don't control. Like,
yeah,
you think after shooting was done, she's like, all right, ready to go in the editing room and get this narrative together. Like, oh no, we got all said, the footage.
Oh no, Alyssa, you're not helping us edit this.
Yeah. We all things we need from you, sweetheart. We're going to show you what you've been doing.
I would love, can somebody please smash cut together all of this stuff? Like, I would love to see an episode of just Alyssa scenes before, like cut right before she like goes off the handle to see what she thinks the episode.
What her narrative is.
I would love to see that. Honestly.
Yeah, because she's living in an alternate universe. She says it again, like, I'm not a bad person. I'm a really effing good person. And she says this at the dinner. She really wants everyone to remember this isn't her fault that this is happening.
She's trying to gaslight everybody.
It's happening to me.
Everybody should remember. Yeah. You guys, production, you guys out there in TV land, remember. This is not my fault. This is the expert's fault.
Yes.
Not my fault. She said it three times during the episode.
Yes.
Three times. This is not my fault.
And then Lindsay makes some sort of face and she's like, Lindsay, don't do that while I'm talking. And Lindsay's like, I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, later Mark is going to be like, I'm so proud of you for not popping off that Lindsay. Good job.
I think Alyssa was hoping. She was kind of hoping.
Yeah.
She was aiming to distract. To distract from her nonsense.
Yep.
So then we can move on. So since that did nothing popped off, she starts crying. She says this hasn't been easy for her. And Chris says, look, my only question.
I love Chris's face. Yes. She's like, I don't care about your boohoo crying. Right. Like, I want to need some answers right now.
He's like, are you all out? And then at this point, she's like, well, I just want to talk about this privately. I don't think we should be talking about all of this in front of everybody.
Fair. Okay, is fair.
No, the sun has set during this conversation.
True.
We are already so deep into y'all's personal relationship. You can't pull that now because you're done responding.
I love the faces of all the other couples like looking at this. Like Elijah one especially was like, oh, well, word. Like, damn, like y'all got problems.
Jasmina put her head down at one point.
Yes.
But I just did kind of agree. Like I think Jasmina said at one point, like, can you at least respect the fact that she doesn't want to air all this dirty laundry out in front of everyone?
Yeah, she said y'all owe each other a conversation.
Right. And I, you know, Chris was so frustrated that he's done this in front of everyone. I get that point for sure. But I do agree. This wasn't exactly the type of conversation to have. You know, they kind of hijacked the whole dinner. Like,
But the problem was they weren't having those conversations
privately.
Privately. Yes. Or off camera. That's what he kept saying. He's like, she's not talking to me off camera. So every time we see them talking privately, she gets up and goes. Like, how do you keep like pushing off this conversation when he's asked you 10 times?
Literally.
Are you in or are you all out? I'm not prepared to answer that right now. Yeah. But then you say you're not prepared to answer that right now, but it's not like I'm not prepared to answer that right now because I still want to get to know you or anything like that.
Like, I'm not asking you to repay that debt I gave you. Like, I'm gonna have your money for you next week. No problem. Right. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna get you next week when I get paid. That first money going to you. Don't worry about it. Next week. And next week comes, like, you know what, man? I got some money coming. Come in a few days. I'm gonna get you then. No, yes. I got you. That's what she's doing. Like, she literally said to him, like, and he's like, well, what do you want to have this conversation?
Well,
we leave tomorrow, so maybe next week.
Right.
Like, what is that even? So then we'll never see each other until this guy, like, it just doesn't make sense.
So they basically settle on that with the dinner. They settle on, it's a private conversation. Cool. Mm-hmm. So after the dinner, like, they're having this private conversation with the cameras there and producers. So he's like, okay, let's bring up the apartment. What do you want to do with that, basically? And she's like, well, I just want to be a part of the experiment and this experience. I think the experience is really important for both of us. And so that's when we get a confessional from Chris saying, like, I've noticed the past couple of days she's starting to say experience more. And she's just saying it to say, like, it's separate from the marriage. She just wants to be a part of the quote unquote experience. And so he asked her, like, okay, coming into this, were you, like, even before you met me, were you prepared to not have the perfect person? And she's like, yeah. And I think he asked, like, is there something about me that you could change?
Well, she kept talking about the differences.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I said it before he said it. And I was like what? And then he said, like, what? And right. I'm like, oh, okay, Chris. Yeah. Yeah. Let's ask these questions.
Right.
And she stares blankly. This may have been some editing.
It was editing.
And yeah. She's like,
the music in the background was the cue. It's like they had some generic music, and then as she was like, it was like the music faded away, but then like scratch, like, and then crickets. They hit the
literally
crickets. Like,
she goes, "I'm not mentally able to have this conversation that you want to have the conversation that you want to have right now."
Jasmine just guaranteed to me at dinner that you're going to have this conversation. What happened to that? Somebody get Jasmine in here and tell me why she's not having this conversation that you told me that she's going to have with me right now.
Right. Right. Yes. And so she's just like, okay, when can we have this conversation? She says next week. And she's like, you just need to remember, we're both in the same situation. He's like, but we're not.
We're so not.
It's like, well, I just
you
don't think
it's in the situation.
Right? And this is when she turns to the producers, because now cut. And she's just like, look, I just don't think it's fair. He's asking me questions I don't want to answer. Mm-hmm. She leaves. She's like, I don't like the way he talks to me. And this is when he says, like, I know she's not into this. Mm-hmm. And so she's talking to the producer. It's not fair. She's going on and on and on about him attacking her character.
Yeah.
And they're leaving from the honeymoon. And she says, like, look, I didn't get what I wanted. He didn't get what he wanted. But this isn't my fault. I know I'm a good person. She has tried to paint this picture since day one. We're not fooled. Chris may be kind of fooled a little bit at this point. I just feel like,
oh no, Chris's eyes are wide open at this point. Done.
Yeah,
y'all honestly think that he is 100% done right now?
Yes, I think at this point he just wants her to say it. He said he wants her to say it.
But if she doesn't,
he'll pretend
she didn't.
He's still going to be in it. He'll say his little, if she's in 1%, I'm going to give it my all, which is, like, you know, corny and, you know, like something out of a script. And he even says, like, he wishes she would say what she feels and take the consequences of those feelings and opinions. Meaning, say what you want to say on camera so people on social media can drag you, which they are doing.
Yes. But also, he says, I think it was him when he says, like, if you want to move into the apartment building by yourself, have at it. Like, that's when you knew he was just done. Like, he was
Yeah, if you tell me it's done, that you are not interested in this at all, you can have the apartment for the whole time. I don't care. Because I'll be done. I'll be gone.
But and he her also eyes probably, perked up about that for 2 seconds.
But he also probably knows that if he's done, she's not getting that apartment anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And then and then he went on to say, you know, you can have the apartment. Just, you know, say that you're not in this. You weren't in this. And she I know she perked up at the apartment, but then she was like, but you're not about to make it look like I wasn't here for the right reason. Mm-hmm. She's like,
the magic phrase, here for the right reasons.
Because this is the bad.
Like, when he said that, she went off.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is a Bachelor super fan. And she knows what those words mean. Like, that means you are the enemy. You are the villain of the season because you are not here for the right reasons. She went off at that point.
It's so okay. Yeah. I see what y'all are saying. I could see him. Okay, he's done. He just wants her to be. I can see that perspective. He just has not. I don't know. I think it's similar to some feedback we got from, let's see, we got it from T-Kins. She said, where is Chris's self-esteem? And that's where I think he wants this so bad that he would be willing to dust this all under the rug if she were willing to just be there.
I think Chris has self-esteem. I think he's worried about his self-image right now.
There it is.
I think he's coming across as the good guy because just like Alyssa wants to play the game, Chris is playing the game much better than she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's like, let me act like I'm just going to be this devoted guy. Like, I'm just going to be like all in. I'm going to put my heart out there on camera and say all the things that need to be said, that should be said, that for me, I want love. I'm finding love. I want it to be a success. So I think Chris knows the deal. Chris knows what's going on.
He better.
It's not a mystery.
Right.
But, yeah.
So he has plenty of self-esteem.
Yeah.
I just think he's like I've been saying, he's performing. He's, you know, he wants us to think he doesn't have self-esteem, apparently, but we know.
And I wonder if Alyssa's lawyer told her not to be the one to call it off because she could be at fault for the contract.
Yep. Right.
Exactly. Speaking of that, after party,
this part was I did watch
a trip. So for those of you that didn't watch after party, there was a lot that came out about it. So apparently, I guess in between the weddings and going to the honeymoon, they all go as seemingly as a big group to City Hall to fill out their marriage licenses. So apparently, while they were all at City Hall, Lindsay overhears Alyssa talking to her lawyer, trying to find a way to get out of what she just did, which is get married. Okay. At the same time, they're at City Hall. Chris says to her, like, hey, we're married now. We don't even have each other's phone numbers. Like, do you want me to give you my phone number? And she looks him in the face and says, no, if I need it, I know where to get it from. Like, she just won't even take the man's phone number just to be like, yeah, sure. Give me your phone number. Like,
right. Wow.
And then, even more, we get to where they have to go in front of the Justice of the Peace, I guess, to officially sign papers to make it official. And the Justice of the Peace, this is even an official question, like you would at the ceremony, asked, like, so you guys want to be married? Chris says, yes, I do. Alyssa literally sits there in silence and says nothing.
Ridiculous.
And this is the formality, because they already signed the marriage license. It was just for him to sign the marriage license, the Justice of the Peace.
And when Chris said that, Rudy Rebell fell out of her chair.
She did. I love that response from her.
Weird question about after party. We haven't seen Mike yet. Think there's some weird reason for that?
I don't know.
We've seen everyone else except Mike.
I remember last season there was someone who wasn't. I'm like all of a sudden blanking on who was on last season. Last season there was someone we never saw for a long time. Then finally they came. Maybe, was it Bao or was it? because Zach was always on. Michaela was on.
Johnny
Maybe it was Gil.
On.
Johnny was on a lot.
Was it Gil? You know, like he didn't come on until later in the season.
I feel like I didn't see Gil a lot.
So I feel like people.
I did find it odd that there were only two. There were only two people on this.
Yeah.
Episode.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they can't have people on who aren't going to be able to act like this is the present after the episode.
Maybe they put Mike through a trial run. He was like, nah, I hate her. Oh, yeah, we can't have you on here, bro. Like we want to cut it down to these two. Like, you stay in the back.
Right.
That's funny.
Did anything else come out? I can't remember. That was the main piece I remember from Chris and Alyssa from After Party. Was there
He said after that, after the whole Destiny of the Peace thing, on their flight to Puerto Rico, Alyssa had a producer sit between them the whole time. Yes. Like, so he girl, said, like, you at a time where we could
at a time where we could have had these conversations off camera, no microphone, you still chose to totally avoid.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous. I mean, we see on the next time on Pastor Cal is finally meeting with them and asking, like, do you want to get a divorce? So it's like, okay, that's
it. Looks like he's directing it to Chris.
Yeah, it did.
That question.
Right. But speaking of experts, so Dr. Viviana, which Mari, you thankfully sent us this thread, she went on a Twitter, like it, I mean, there were a bunch of tweets in this thread, but there was a key piece I wanted to point out specifically for Alyssa and Chris. So Dr. Viviana, so it's at Dr. Viviana. She said, I believe Alyssa went into this with all the good intentions. And I think like so many others, she thought, well, if it doesn't work out with this, at least I can meet amazing women and we will join the ranks of all the other hashtag mass brides who came before us and make the best of it. I actually think that that is not the worst way to look at this process. But because at the point she is refusing to communicate with her husband, she is refusing to be respectful to him, and she is disrespecting the process that has produced many loving families. And then she like goes on and on and on. So I'm like, yeah, you knew this. Where are y'all? Like, they say they were staying on top of the events that were unfolding. But even us, we're not, we aren't qualified to step in, but we knew that there needed to be some intervention sooner than them returning home.
Like, I can't even get a FaceTime for you, Pastor Cal. Right. I can't get a FaceTime for you, Dr. Pepper. Like, what's up?
I just imagined Pastor Cal, like, on a golf link, and they're like, oh, Chris and Alyssa aren't doing too well. He's like, let me finish my game.
Well, that's what he did last season. Pastor Cal was in a car last season.
Yeah.
And I think it was Jose and Rachel, you know, but he like got it, took it from the car. Like, hey, what's up, y'all? I'm just out here like shooting around a golf. And they said y'all need some emergency help. Like, I can even drive to the office for this.
Right. We did get some feedback from one of our listeners, Kelly. She said, it's a little extreme for Dr. Viviana to call Chris and Alyssa's relationship suffering from bumps in the road, quote unquote. You feel the show has completely abandoned the scientific matching and has gone full production matches for drama.
Oh,
like we said, I think specifically for this couple, they did.
Yeah, especially like you can. I was just going to say, you can tell once they move to Lifetime, like it's definitely, it feels like the fix is in.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't doing this on, what was it, FYI or DIY?
Yeah.
What was
I think it was DIY?
Something like that.
It was on A&E and FYI.
Like, once they got to Lifetime, that's when the couple started hanging out, which I think is also a detriment. I'm pretty sure I said this last time I was on. I think it's a detriment to the process because you're just constantly comparing yourself to other couples, which just already shuts you down and puts you at a deficit.
Yeah.
And then they expanded it to five couples so they could probably, like, okay, we want at least one or
if
two.
If we get a dud, we can phase them out a little
right.
bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Cover them up.
Yeah, we want one or two actual matches and the rest can kind of be for play. Like, that's what I feel like Lifetime doing. So I feel like they definitely are moving away from
Speaking of Lifetime, when I get the After Party and my DVR starts a few minutes early, I gotta watch as adults adopting adults.
Oh my gosh.
This is like a trip.
Can we talk about that?
Have you watched any of it?
No, I haven't. I just watched these previews like Jason was saying. And I'm like, I could have sworn I've heard like stuff like that is kind of like adult adopting and stuff can like lend to like trafficking and stuff like that. So well, I'm
that,
like,
that's the vibe I'm getting from that.
Yes!
From one guy on the preview.
Yes.
I might have to pitch to Rob adult adopting. I haven't even watched a single episode, but I'm riveted on the previews I'm seeing.
One girl told her real mom that she's being adopted by these other two people, and her real mom just lost her, just was crying, and she's like, I'm doing it because I want my kids to have grandparents, and the mom is like, well, what am I?
Like, when the wife of the one guy is like, he brought this lady in and I didn't even agree to it.
Oh, adopted a whole person. Like,
oh. And this guy like talking on social media like, hey, I just adopted an adult. Here is, I think her name is Ileana or something.
Yeah, right. Like, he was like,
it's so creepy.
Yes, so I saw that part.
Made my skin crawl. I was like,
what is happening?
Mm. Oh, that's funny. Oof. I mean, so it doesn't really need to be said. We all agree one's down the board, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Do y'all think that next episode is it?
For it them? Better be.
I hope so. Because I can't, I don't, what else can they do? We've sucked this rock dry. Let's just move on.
Out of context.
Right.
I'm doing a job for you out of context. I'm marking.
Right.
Shout out to
I haven't said anything inappropriate, but I'll mark everybody else's.
So there we go. That was our episode. That was the Chris and Alyssa show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other thoughts about these couples?
This has been a season.
Go ahead, Mark. Sorry. No, you go.
Again, I'm still amazed that we are 6 episodes in and we're just coming off the honeymoons.
Yes.
This season, I'm wondering if all this drama is going to peak now, if we're going to get drama later, or if we're just going to get some love stories, which I would love for that. But I'm in here, hook, line, and sinker. If I can sit through Atlanta season, I can sit through this one. So I'm excited.
So I'm wondering, like, how y'all feel. Like, because I feel like in the Mavs, like, conversation online, it's like everyone's upset because of the Chris and Alyssa stuff. Like, this isn't something that needs to be on the show. Like, get them off the show. Get them off the show. How do y'all feel? Like, I feel like if we got a bunch of Steve and Noise, right, it would be boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I feel like to get the entertainment, we need some mess.
I mean, I think it's appropriate right now. Like this, everything right. that we've done so far, we do need. This is all of the explanation as to why, like, what happened. They were chosen, so now we're seeing that flesh out. But after this, I don't. Maybe one more episode. 2 is stretching it. Other than that, after that, then we don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we've talked about it a lot. Like, Alyssa is the villain. She is, I mean, it's hard too to think back of, like, is she the worst of the worst? We did get a question from Gabby saying, who's worse? Chris from Chris and Paige, Alyssa, or who was the other option? Johnny.
Ooh. Boy, that's a murderous row. Oh, boy. So, Alyssa, I feel like, She's very villainy, but I feel like she's not being deceitful. Like, she's not being, I don't know what's the word. I feel like Johnny and Chris were very, like, directed in their hatred. They were directly hateful. Johnny said a lot of inappropriate things to Val, which is unforgivable. I feel like Alyssa is just a brat, right? Mm-hmm. But it feels like Johnny and Chris are toxic. Like,
true. Okay, I see that point. Because when I saw that, I said, hands down, Alyssa.
I did too.
But I mean, I can see where you got with the actions going on, especially to the producers.
Mm-hmm.
We see that, but she's not doing this to Chris.
Yeah, it's very Chris underhanded.
Trying so hard behind not the back. To. Yeah, right.
Johnny was very hurtful to Bao directly. True. She said a lot of hurtful things to Bao, like almost on an episode. Every episode basis.
That is true. And Chris was just so slimy.
Something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was stringing her along. It was just like, it was very targeted because she was hopeful in this situation. Chris, there's no reason Chris should be hopeful.
Right. And she's not really stringing him along. She's like, she's saying without saying it. She's like, dude, like realize right. I'm trying to get through to you without actually saying it.
Right.
Alyssa just wants Chris to leave her alone. Alyssa just wants Chris to like act like they're all good and stop mm-hmm. asking her tough questions.
Yeah.
Like, true. Let's just yeah. get through to 8 weeks and be done.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. her refusing to move into the apartment kind of goes against that, but
mm-hmm.
it feels like she's been done wrong, mm-hmm. and she's just trying to get through it. Johnny and Chris were just directly mean to their partners.
Yeah, I think I would go with Johnny still the worst because Jason rightfully pointed out that the things that he said to Bao were just felt so unnecessary.
Awful. Yeah, very true. Well, that is it for this episode. I do want to call out a change that I mentioned last week. So our feed, if you have subscribed to the Married at First Sight feed, you may have noticed a different coding on it. It is now mm-hmm. the Love at First Sight feed, which will be hosting the Married at First Sight wrap up and the Love is Blind wrap up. So Love is Blind season 2 is premiering February 11th. We already have the Everything You Need to Know that which consisted of me, Mary Kwiatkowski, and Rob Sesternino. We talked about
Asia, hold on a second. So hold on, let me see. Look, you're doing another podcast?
Yeah.
Without me?
It's slipping it in real quick.
Asia, I want to remind you that you are podcast married, okay? Married. You are podcast married. This ain't just some other partnership. This is a podcast partnership.
Okay, Olajuwon. Yes, Mary and I will be co-hosting this Love is Blind wrap up, and it will be on this feed. So if you notice Love is Blind and you're curious, definitely check it out. So for now, the Everything You Need to Know is on there. We talked about season 1 and just everything that you want to know about the show. Mari, you watch Love is Blind as well.
Yes, so. I'm so excited.
Oh, you do? So you've never know, mentioned this.
Oh, you didn't even ask me. Okay, I see. All right. Wow. It's like that. But yes, the Everything You Need to Know was fun. I listened to it.
It was very fun. Yeah.
Nice.
I listened to it through tears. Mary is a great podcaster as well. So I think you and Mary, Asia, will take this and really do well with
yes.
it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So if y'all have not subscribed, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. I was typing it in, making sure that's actually what it works. Yeah. So robhasawebsite.com/firstsightfeed. And that's where you can get all your Married at First Sight and Love is Blind content. Thank you so much, Mari, for joining us. Always such a pleasure.
Fantastic.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me on. Love podcasting with the both of you, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the first time the three of us have been in this configuration, I think, right?
Yeah,
just the three of us.
Yeah, because you're on the wrestling wrap up with you and Matt.
Yes.
So just exactly. The three of us. I think this is the first time.
Exactly. Yes. And that is where you can find me every week. Me and Matt Scott are going over the highlights of the week in wrestling. So we have a fun episode coming up this week, and we got a lot of great guests lined up down the stretch. You can also, I don't know if you guys are participating, but the 12 for 12, RHAP 12 for 12, me and Matt will be hosting one of the live hours.
What time?
1 p.m. So okay. Basically right after we are done podcasting for Wrestling Wrap Up, we're going to take over. So come join us on the RHAP Grams Instagram and ask us all the questions. If you want to, I was on Pod Friends with Matt Scott about 3 weeks ago. So if you have any lingering questions from that, you can drop those in the chat. Of course, we'll be talking wrestling, and then just me and Matt just, you know, talking, because we're really good at that.
Yes, your Pod Friends episode was fantastic. If anybody hasn't listened to it, go listen to it.
Thank you so much. And yeah. So was Asia. I definitely had to say that. Or your Taryn Show interview, should I say? Yes. I'm sorry. But yeah. And if you want to know, I'll be doing some BB23. Jesus.
I celebrity
celebrity Big Brother coverage. Just follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's 2 like the number 2. And you'll everything I do, I put up there. So thank nice. You guys for having me. I love coming on the Mass Podcast. I tell you that every time, but it's so fun.
It's such a pleasure. Jason, mm-hmm. where can people find you?
I am on Twitter at JAYR1085. You got any questions? You got any insights on things happening? Hit me up. I'd love to interact with all of you. Yeah, so that's where you can find me.
Yes, I'm just so glad to have the hashtag Nerdle Gang together. But yeah, everybody, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so AYSHA like ASIA. Like I said, Love is Blind coverage coming soon. We are going to be covering the first batch of episodes, so that should be coming in this feed either on Sunday or Monday, so we'll see. And then I was also on the Celebrity Big Brother roundtable for the Stockwatch this week. So if you're watching Big Brother, I joined Taryn and Melissa. And then I was also on over on Post Show Recaps to talk about this week's Euphoria episode. It was such a good episode. So if you watch Euphoria, definitely go check that out over on Post Show Recaps. And then, of course, I'll be here every week with Jason talking about Married at First Sight. So please go leave 5-star ratings, subscribe to our feed, and we will see y'all next week. Bye.